Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. First part of Ephesians 2 we hope to cover this morning. Bad news followed by good news. Human beings are spiritually dead, living in opposition to the ways of God. Participants in the rebellion of the fallen angels, so that we follow the adversary and are demonized to various degrees. Our nature has been corrupted. We deserve wrath. That's the bad news. The good news, we've been saved by grace, made alive, raised to heavenly realms, and graciously empowered to do good works. From death to life, from humiliation to exaltation, all because of the three-in-one God. Sometimes a person can be really sick and resist going to the doctor, especially if he is a guy. He just might not like going to the doctor. He may feel it's a waste of his time. He may believe he's not all that sick and will get better on his own. However, if someone is really sick, it can help the sick person get the care he needs if he understands just how sick he really is. Then he may be willing to go to the doctor and receive proper care. Kim, can you? Thank you. In a similar way, human beings know that there are lots of problems among us. It's obvious that there are many things that are very wrong. So much human misery, crimes, injustice, racism, wars, suicides. Human beings know that something is wrong here on planet Earth. But they don't understand just how sick humanity really is. Therefore, they resist going to the great physician to get the help they so desperately need. In this part of his letter to Messiah's community in Ephesus, Paul, the Lord's divinely inspired representative, helps us understand just how desperately sick humanity is. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time. All of us. Gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest of humanity, we were by nature deserving of wrath. According to Rabbi Paul, who is divinely inspired, humanity is way beyond sick. We are even beyond terminally ill. Because of our rebellion against God, because of our sins, because we have fallen short and missed the mark, because of our transgressions, because we have crossed important moral and spiritual boundaries that never should have been crossed, we're not just sick, we're not just terminally ill, we are dead, spiritually dead. We are like zombies. You've heard me say this before, but it's true. We have the appearance of life, but we have no real spiritual life. We have no genuine connection to the living God, who's the source of life. And there's more. Human beings are not only spiritually dead, but we are actively living in opposition to the ways of God. Paul writes, "You followed the ways of this world." This world is characterized by ways that are not God's ways. Your ways are not my ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. The Lord lamented centuries earlier about his rebellious Jewish nation. What are the world's ways? Living for self, not living for God. Living for the world, not living for God. Living for now, not living for eternity. Not submitting to God. Trying to come to God on our terms, not his terms. You followed the ways of this world. Human beings are not only spiritually dead and living in opposition to the ways of God, but human beings are willing participants in a fallen world which is dominated by the fallen angels. You followed the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The ruler of the kingdom of the air is Satan, Satan, the head of the fallen angels. This is the evil spirit being who has authority over the air, the region under God's heavens. The adversary does not rule in the highest heavens, where the three-in-one God reigns supreme, but the adversary rules the lower heavens, this world. The devil is the god of this world, having authority over the things under the sky. You followed the ruler of the kingdom of the air. When Adam and Eve joined the rebellion of the fallen angels, they lost their privilege to govern this world. Dominion of this world was transferred to the fallen angels. The head of the fallen angels became the god of this world. So Jews and Gentiles are born into that demonic kingdom that opposes God, opposes the truth, is full of unhappiness, ruination, and death. We are subjects of that kingdom. We are controlled by that kingdom. We follow the leader of that kingdom. You follow the ruler of the kingdom of the air. When Adam and Eve sinned, they sided with the enemy against God the Father, the High King of Heaven, and King Messiah, the Son of the High King. Humanity has taken sides. You followed the ruler of the kingdom of the air. And it gets worse. Human beings are not only spiritually dead, living in opposition to the ways of God, participants in the rebellion of the fallen angels, so that we follow the god of this world, but we are oppressed, we are possessed, we are demonized to one degree or another. You followed the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Now at work in everyone who is disobedient, which is humanity. Satan and the demons are working in fallen humanity, tempting them toward evil, encouraging them toward further corruption, encouraging them to remain in rebellion against God, directing them towards disobedience, keeping them from the truth, distracting them from the truth, removing the gospel seed when it is sown. Satan and the demons are at work in fallen humanity, possessing us, oppressing us, controlling us, demonizing us to various degrees. Humanity is not good. Humanity is not neutral. Humanity, Rabbi Paul tells us, is characterized by disobedience. You follow the Spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Humanity is disobedient. Disobedient to God. Disobedient to the leadership of God. Disobedient to the Word of God. Disobedient to the ways of God. Disobedient to the plans and purposes of God. Disobedient to the gospel of God. Disobedient to the Messiah of God and the salvation of God. You followed the Spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And it gets worse. Human beings are not only spiritually dead, living in opposition to the ways of God, participants in the rebellion of the fallen angels so that we follow the God of this world, and are demonized to various degrees and characterized by disobedience. Humanity's very nature has been corrupted. All of us, Rabbi Paul writes, also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the flesh's desires and thoughts. The flesh doesn't mean just our bodies. The flesh, as Rabbi Paul uses it, means our entire nature, the old nature, the sinful nature. Human nature has been thoroughly corrupted. Oh, we can still think and reason and feel. We still have many talents and abilities, but all too often we use our bodies, our minds, our wills, our emotions, our talents, and often our sexuality in corrupt, rebellious ways. Our nature is more like the adversary's nature than the nature of God. It has corrupt desires. And fallen human beings consistently gratify the cravings of our flesh and follow its desires and thoughts. The cravings of the flesh are not limited to physical desires, sensual desires, like sex outside of marriage, or eating too much, or getting high on drugs and alcohol. The cravings of the flesh, the old corrupt nature, include our thoughts, our minds, our thought life. We pursue wrong philosophies and ideologies and false religions. We enjoy thoughts of hatred, unforgiveness, vengeance, jealousy. We pursue worldly goals. We get pleasure from lying and stealing and being lazy. Humanity is characterized by giving into the desires of our fallen nature, getting perverse pleasures from giving into the cravings of a fallen body and a fallen mind. There are consequences for creatures who have a corrupt nature. A holy and righteous God is appalled by them and must ultimately reject them. We were by nature deserving of wrath. An infinitely holy God has every right to be angry with corrupted creatures and remove them from his presence, remove them from his universe. We were by nature deserving of wrath, anger, hot displeasure. And it gets worse. Human beings are not only spiritually dead and living in opposition to the ways of God and participants in the rebellion of the fallen angels so that we follow the God of this world and are demonized to one degree or another and characterized by disobedience and have a ruined nature. There is nothing that we can do to fix this horrible situation on our own. We cannot remove ourselves from the authority of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. We cannot give ourselves a new godly nature. We cannot give ourselves new life so that we are no longer spiritual zombies. Dead men cannot give themselves new life. When was the last time you saw a corpse give itself new life? It can't. The Edenic curse pronounced for joining the rebellion of the fallen angels has come to pass. Mot tamut, dying you will die. You will surely die. And we have. We must understand the human condition. How very sick we are, beyond sick, how terminal we are, how utterly incapable we are of getting ourselves out of this horrible, hopeless, helpless situation. That's the bad news. Now the good news. The good news is that what we are completely incapable of fixing, God is more than able to repair. And so the divinely inspired apostle continues, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Messiah, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Messiah. And God seated us with Messiah in the heavenly realms in Messiah Yeshua, in order that in the coming ages, God might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us who are joined to Messiah Yeshua. This is fantastic. This is beyond fantastic. Even though we are rebels, morally, spiritually repulsive to a holy God and have no right to expect God to do anything other than reject us and punish us and unleash his wrath on us, God made it possible to be saved from our horrible, helpless, hopeless situation. Why? Because of who he is. Because of his nature. Because of his attributes of love, mercy, and grace. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Messiah. It is by grace we have been saved. We did not deserve to be rescued from our ruined nature and this state of spiritual death that we find ourselves in. But God saved us. He made us alive anyway because of his love. Not just his love, but Paul says his great love. His great desire to bless others, which is part of his nature. To do good to others. To give help where help is needed most. To see others reach their maximum potential. Motivated by great love for his fallen and spiritually dead creatures, the Lord made us alive, giving us new life, spiritual life, eternal life. God saved us from our horrible, helpless situation because of his great love for us and because of his mercy. That's part of his nature too. Mercy. To not want to punish others the way they deserve to be punished. What we deserved is divine rejection, divine punishment, the first death, physical death, condemnation on the day of judgment, and then the horrible second death in the lake of fire. That's what we deserve. But the Lord is rich in mercy and did not give us what we deserve. The Lord is not stingy with his mercy. He is rich in mercy, generous with his mercy, not giving us what we deserve, not maximizing judgment and punishment, but abundantly pardoning, forgiving, relenting. God saved us from our horrible, helpless, hopeless situation because of his great love and because he is rich in mercy and because his nature is one of grace. Mercy is withholding punishment from someone who deserves it. Grace is giving something good to someone who doesn't deserve it. On the flip side of the coin. God gave us something we didn't deserve. Salvation. Rescue. Deliverance from the real and deadly forces of Satan, sin, the sin nature, and death. Because of his grace. Here, the divinely inspired rabbi gives us one of the great truths of the Christian faith. By grace, you have been saved. Salvation comes from grace. Grace alone. God's unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. And there's more. Much more. This loving, merciful, gracious God not only saved us and gave us new life and gave us a whole new godly nature, but he took us from the lowest place and he elevated us to the highest heights. God raised us up with Messiah. And seated us with Messiah in the heavenly realms that are connected to Messiah Yeshua. In order that in the coming ages, God might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to those of us who are united to Messiah. Before Messiah arrived here on planet Earth, human beings we're at a very low place. We had a fallen nature. We were citizens of a dark demonic kingdom. We were demonized. We were participants in the rebellion against the High King of Heaven and his son, King Messiah. But when we understand that the glorious Son of God lowered himself, left heaven, became a frail, weak, mortal human being, died a horrible death, was buried lower in the ground, and that God raised his son from that very low place and raised him to the highest heavens and seated Messiah at the place of greatest honor at the right hand of God the Father. When we understand that, then God the Father raises up from our very low place and seats us at the highest place with Messiah. How wonderful is that? How can it be otherwise? We are in Messiah. We are joined to our living Savior because of our faith. We're connected to Him. We're in Him. We're united to Him. We're joined to Him. Where He goes, we must go. Where He is, we must be. We must be where He is, and He is seated in the heavenly realms at the right hand of God in the place of greatest honor, and that's where we are too. Why would the perfect, glorious Creator God take ruined creatures like us from our very low state, this state of humiliation and death, and put us in a place of the greatest possible exaltation at the right hand of God? Because God the Father wants us to be an everlasting display of who He is. He wants to show us off, Christians and Messianic Jews, the sons and daughters of God, as eternal examples of His kindness and His grace. He wants the universe and everyone and everything in it to forever know that our salvation and our exaltation is an expression of the incomparable riches of His grace. The divinely inspired rabbi from Tarsus repeats this great truth of the faith about grace so that we really will pay attention to it. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, by human efforts, so that no one can boast. We are saved with all the amazing riches that salvation includes, and there's a lot of riches in salvation. We are saved, we are rescued, we are redeemed, we are delivered, not by anything that we can do, but solely, exclusively, completely based on the unearned, undeserved favor of God. You have been saved by grace. Salvation is not something that we could ever do on our own. We could never save ourselves. We could never reconcile ourselves to God. We could never redeem ourselves out of the satanic slave market of sin and death. We could never give ourselves a new godly nature. We could never give ourselves new life. We could never give ourselves eternal life. Salvation only comes to us as a great gift given to us by God's grace. It could never be earned by our own efforts, our good deeds outweighing our bad deeds. Our responsibility is simply to receive this great gift. We should never claim that our salvation was something easy, that we could handle on our own, that it was no big deal, or that we saved ourselves in some way by our own efforts, or that we deserve salvation because of our merits or our worthiness or our works or efforts or good deeds. We are never to take credit for our great rescue. That is foolish, that is arrogant, that is proud, that is boastful. The exact opposite of what the fruit of salvation is, humility. The creature understanding that God is God and we are not, that the Creator is the center of the universe, not the creature. that we are entirely dependent on him for life and salvation and for everything else. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith. Our responsibility in this process is to understand what God has done, that the Father sent the Son into this world who died on that cross, rose from the dead, is alive now, and then transfer our loyalties to the Father and the Son and the Spirit. That's what faith is, a transfer of loyalties. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. That's our responsibility, to believe, to have faith, to transfer our loyalties to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we had better do that before we leave this world. And just as we are saved by grace, we should also understand that whatever accomplishments we achieve in this life also flow from that same grace. Rabbi Paul continues, we are God's handiwork, created in Messiah to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God created us. Then when we fell, he redeemed us. He gave us a new nature. He gave us his Spirit to guide us and to empower us. He gave us his word to equip us. He provided a spiritual family to support us and encourage us. He gave us various abilities and talents. He gives us the opportunities to do good things. So in a sense, all that we are, all that we have, everything that we will ever do or accomplish are completely due to God and his grace. Isn't that true? So in one sense, our good works aren't even our own. We could do nothing apart from God. But in another sense, our good works are our own. When we do something good, when we go out of our way to help someone, when we make an extra effort or work hard to do something good, we are actually doing something. Of course, we couldn't do anything if it weren't for God, who prepared us and prepared our good works in advance. So, of course, we give him the credit. We don't want to praise ourselves, but if someone does praise you for something done well, a job well done, we need to learn how to graciously accept praise. The book of Mishle, Proverbs, tells us, let another praise you and not your own lips. Don't praise yourself. Don't call attention to your accomplishments and how great you are and worthy you are and smart you are. But if another does, that's okay. Let another praise you. Don't say, oh, it wasn't me, it's all God. He gets all the credit. I had nothing to do with it. No, you did have something to do with it. That's a kind of false humility. It's right to direct the credit to God, but it's also okay to receive praise from others. Let another praise you. Let's pray.